Hello, I'm Adam, and welcome to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear tales and stories from the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. This is the whopping fifth season of the podcast, with new guests and brand new stories and conversations with some people that you will definitely know, and some people that you'll come to know through these episodes. I'm thrilled to say that this podcast is proudly sponsored by the wonderful people at Plant Grow, producers of award-winning organic compost, mulch and fertiliser made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And I know, because it's all I use on my garden. Also, don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's easy to do, takes a few minutes of your time, but it helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded planty people. In this week's episode, we're bringing things indoors and exploring an urban jungle and its owner somewhere near Leicester. There is no denying that houseplants have boomed over the last few years, thanks in part to the COVID lockdowns, but someone who was way ahead of the curve there is the houseplant doctor Joe Bagley, otherwise known on Instagram as UK Houseplants. Now, as his username suggests, Joe is a houseplant expert, avid collector and public speaker on all things houseplant, and he joined me this week to discuss how all this started for him and how one website used to call him Jungle Boy. Listen along now and dive into a world of indoor growing. Enjoy. So, for anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
Yes, so my name is Joe Bagley. I've been growing houseplants for almost 10 years, since I was a kid, but I've been helping, you know, my grandparents out in the garden since I was very small, just about to start walking pretty much. But now I started off being on, you know, social media and stuff when I ended up being on Lad Bible, which was pretty scary. And they called me the Jungle Boy, which was, embarrassing. And everybody, I used to work at a garden centre and everybody saw it. And I was like, oh, God. The good thing was it was in lockdown, so I didn't have to see them for a few months.
Good timing.
Yes, luckily it was, especially with lockdown, everyone being cooped up indoors, gardening, house plants, house renovations, that really skyrocketed. And then, yeah, since then, Gardens World saw the infamous Jungle Boy and asked if I could be one of their live presenters each year at the NEC, which I do. And then, yeah, I've got a Instagram called at UK Houseplants, a website which has around about 260 articles now, and I write them in a very standardised way. So if anyone's heard of Top Trumps, the card game, it's always, you know, one side of the card is a photo of the character, like Pokemon or whatever. Then there'll be 4 points, you know, strength, agility, speed, whatever. But it'll always be in that order. It's exactly what I did with my plant articles. So I'll write about an umbrella tree, a cheese plant, a clivia, Mimosa pudica, and it all starts off with watering, then feeding, humidity, that kind of thing. So if you ever want any very quick information on a plant, go to, you know, ukhouseplants.com.
I really love that. And I was looking at your website a couple of weeks ago and I noticed that exact thing. And you say that on the homepage about it being that kind of standardised format. And I think there's so much that you've just said there we need to go back and talk about, mainly the lad the Jungle Boy thing, but the way that you do your website, I think if anyone hasn't looked at it, they absolutely need to go and have a look at it, because I think, and I'm sure we'll get into this a bit later as well, I think one of the main problems with houseplants before anyone's either got one or before anyone's really wanting to take it seriously, the initial thought I think for most people is it's complicated, it's difficult, I don't know what I'm doing, it's overcomplicated. And I think because of the way that you do it, it simplifies it, but it doesn't make it, what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't make it like kind of like it's a stupid thing. Like it's really, really clear and concise and just simplifies it. I'm guessing that was the point really, wasn't it?
Yeah. I like that kind of, it's just so people, you know, because some plant websites, there'd be an article on repotting an umbrella tree and then another article on how to get one to flower, which they do, very difficult, but anyway. And then another article on how to take simple things. But our navigation, you know, navigation point of view, that's quite difficult for someone if they're on a website. But if it's on one practically a Bible article where there's about thousands of characters and letters and spaces and whatever and images, people can just scroll down to, oh yeah, propagation, that'd be 3/4 of the way down. And you just quickly scroll down, find it, and read about it. But there is some new stuff that I'm trialing out at the minute to see if it doesn't make the article too much longer, because I'm cautious people might their eyes might start bleeding after about the 2,000th word. But
probably.
it's like a it's going to be called hopefully like the root zone. So it's instead of it just having a bit on repotting, it will be about repotting and a photo of a root system of that plant in question. What a healthy root system looks like, because a lot of people think, oh, I think I've got root rot, all the leaves are yellowing. And I always say, take a photo of the roots if you can and let me have a look, and that kind of thing. So of course, it could be pests, it could be underwater, it could be sunscald. It's all about the roots with root rot, obviously. So they will go on the website, see a photo of what a healthy root system looks like, and they can compare and contrast it with their own root system. I've got most of the plants I've written about at home, but there'll be a few which I might have to go to a garden centre and quickly lift the plant up, take a snap, and put it back in. Hope no one notices.
Well, yeah, exactly. As long as you don't leave it worse off than it was when you went in. So how many plants have you got there in your house then?
So around about 350 pots to about 400. It depends on. Sometimes I do propagations and then I don't. But in terms of individual plants, it's about 1,400, 1,500. But that was the last time I counted. But yeah, it's a lot. I just
Oh
keep kind of
my
cramming them in as much as I can. But
God.
I try and do it in a nice looking way. They're not just here, there, and everywhere. I
Yeah.
try and put a bit of artistic flair in as much as I can.
Yeah, you showed me a little bit of your living room just before we started recording. I think it's so nicely done, and I think
Oh, thank you.
that's the thing, isn't it? I think you I don't know if you felt like this as you started kind of with your houseplant journey, but you get one, looks nice, you get another one, it looks nice, another couple starts to get a
Look
bit
angry.
messy, and then it just becomes like a mad messy jungle, doesn't it? But you've somehow done it in a stylish way as well.
It's all about comparing, contrasting with the different textures of leaves and colours, and it's the most important thing is the right place, right plant. So the best windows to have is a north-facing window, somewhere where there's very minimal sunlight, if not any, especially if you live in an Edwardian Victorian house with bay windows or Juliet windows. There's so much light, you can put in pretty much all plants. Even cacti and succulents can deal with north-facing windows. May not be too sunny, but and the growth rates might be lower, but you can still make all these really lovely displays and get different heights in there as well. So if you I'm looking at my own little window, if you get like a prayer plant, a Calathea, then you can put in a small Fittonia, which is usually a 5 centimeter pot, which is like a shot glass size. And then you can put another different Bacchia, a cordyline, and they're slightly bigger plants, all different textures and colours and their leaf shapes as well. It's the same with the gardening, isn't it? You want to put different flowers, different leaf textures together. And the best thing I love doing is mixing inanimate objects with a windowsill. So putting like a wooden elephant in there, or in mine, I've got an IKEA jug and a old paraffin Victorian light thing. I don't know why, but they look quite nice together. So I thought, why not? But mixing those random things together, it just makes it not too planty, because you can go a bit over the top and then it draws the focus away from the individual plants.
It's the same in the garden though, isn't it, really? I'm thinking about my garden now. Like the way that we mix in, even outside or indoors, the way that we mix in, I suppose, like decorative things that aren't plants. So I've got an old, I suppose it's a bird cage. It's like a little kind of a tiny little bird cage, really. But I know sometimes there's a plant in it, sometimes there isn't. But it's just about, I don't know what that is. It's about creating different textures, different things to kind of draw your eye around, isn't it, really, I suppose.
Exactly. And it's I always like mixing random stuff in and seeing what they can do, and also finding like twigs and branches, wrapping some sphagnum moss around it, and then trying to grow vanilla orchids or air plants to it. So yeah, there's 101 ways you can grow outdoors and indoor plants.
There are. We've jumped way, way, way ahead. We need to go back to the Jungle Boy thing. I'm so sorry. I had
Oh
completely
gosh.
forgotten that you'd been on Lad Bible. Completely forgotten that. Let's go back right to the very, very beginning then. So when you started your Instagram account, was that was 2018, was it? Is that right?
So this was you were pre-lockdown. You were ahead of the curve with the whole houseplant resurgence then.
Yeah, no, I started it when it was the last week before I finished A-levels, which was a bit of a car crash. Managed to finish one out of the three A-levels. I did psychology, French and film studies, which is the weirdest three you could possibly go for.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Practically playing bingo and just picking three out and going, yep, that's it. I finished the film studies one, the easiest one, obviously. But it was a week before that and I thought, I'd love to just get into the plant community a little bit more. Mm. And I'd had plants quite a while at that point anyway, but I just liked the whole idea of showing what different plants can do, so different growth habits. And one of my all-time favourites, and I'll say it every day in every interview or whatever, every Instagram post, is my favourite plant is the oxalis, because they're nyctinastic. So it means the leaves shut at night, a bit like a mushroom shape. And in the day, they're like three little satellite dishes pointing towards the light. And it's a plant that moves. It's like a half pet almost.
Yeah.
And if it wilts, especially the little petioles and the leaves, it means it needs water. So they tell you things and you can see them moving throughout the day. And they're not just the one hit wonder. They live for years and years. I mean, I've had mine since 2018, a few weeks before I started the Instagram. And it's still going strong. I've propagated it many times. So yeah, that's what I really like doing, is showcasing what different plants do for different environments, because every plant is different. And I love listening to people's family stories about their grandmother having a spider plant or a Christmas cactus, and them taking a cutting of it and it's still growing now.
Yeah.
And those individual little nuances about how that plant grows is what I really like.
I think I love the thing that you said about the family thing, because I think when you talk about houseplants, you can kind of go down that route of when, you know, houseplants were massive before they were massive now. And I'm going back to, I'm sure there were resurgences between, but like the 70s when everyone had the Swiss cheese and all that kind of stuff. And that, I think a lot of that love of houseplants for a lot of people does come from like a family member. Did yours come from your grandmother? Is that right?
Yeah. So it's on my mum's side. I live with my dad's grandmother, and that would have been ancient. No, my grandmother on my dad's side now, she lives in the main, but I live in a little like coach house. But no, it was my mum's side, and she was obsessed with gardening, Gardener's World, house plants as well. And she used to keep like sneaking me little plants here and there. How did you get into the gardening?
Exactly the same, to be honest. And I think there is like a link for a lot of people with grandparents, and I think sometimes it might not be as obvious as that, and you might come back to it. So mine was exactly the same. Both of my grandmas gardened, and I kind of just played in the garden and then forgot about it in a way until I was like an adult, and then I'd got a garden and I had to look after it. But then it comes back to that. It's like full circle, isn't it? It's really nice though, that, isn't it?
Sometimes I find it skips a generation, weirdly enough. It's a few different things that skips a generation.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people, it's the grandparents or sometimes the parents themselves, but it's a nice hobby to get into. As I always will say, it's like music. It's an international language, you know. Someone who grows a cheese plant in Australia, people grow in England as well, or in America or South Africa. Same with music. It kind of joins the worldwide community together.
Oh, that is such a brilliant thing to say. I love that. You're so right. I'd never even thought about that, because it doesn't matter what language you speak, like gardening, whether it's indoors or outdoors.
Yeah.
That obviously there are differences with climate and whatever, but
yeah,
it is an international, I'd never even thought about it like that.
It's just the names of the plants. I mean, because I used to work in Leicester in a garden centre, and a lot of our customers was from the South Asian community, and they obviously loved their herbs, and they never called it basil, they called it tulsi. And at first they said, oh, do you have a tulsi plant in? I was like, I've never heard of that. Is that a Latin name?
Yeah.
But it's their own, it's an Indian name for, one of the Indian names for basil. So yeah, apart from the name of individual plants sometimes, it is that same plant that people grow for different reasons. So it's lovely. It's a lovely hobby and even profession to be in as well.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So, right. I'm very sorry to do this, but we're going to have to talk about this Jungle Boy thing.
Oh.
So you started your Instagram in 2018. How long after that was the Jungle Boy thing?
When that would have been April, I think. April 2020.
Right.
Yeah, it was a few weeks after lockdown, and it started raining its terror on us, basically.
So how did that come about then? Had you started your Instagram, and had you started it? Were you UK houseplants then? Is that where it's been since the start?
Yeah, Yeah, it's always been it was that or Houseplants UK, and I didn't know which handle to go for, so I just went with UK Houseplants. But Houseplants UK has since been taken, so
Was it?
I've never seen anyone post on it, but one day I'll be like,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
keeping that name alive.
So you started off by, were you just sharing what you'd got in the house at the time then?
Yeah.
Or were you kind of doing tips and things then, or was that just you sharing your collection? Or
Yeah, it was just little tips on propagation and little things on watering and stuff like that in the location. And then I uploaded a photo of my house to one of the Houseplant UK groups, you know, like on Facebook. And there was a lady who worked for Kennedy Media who supplied like news articles to the Sun and the Lab Bible and whatever. And she said, oh, would you like me to write an article about your plants? And she said, oh, it may not many magazines probably might not pick it up. It might be just a few like ladies magazines. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Because I'd never thought of that. And then she said, oh, hang on. We're getting a lot of different people wanting it. I thought, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Just, you know, head in the sand, not really knowing what was going on. And then they didn't tell me I was on Lad Bible until someone messaged. They said, you're on Lad Bible. I was thinking, oh God, what have I done? But it was a plant. And it was, yeah, it was like millions of people had seen it. And it was quite scary. And then Unilad wanted a video. And then BBC News wanted a video like for the social media page, which was massive. And then BBC News, they said, oh, would you like to be live on air? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. And I asked them, which I shouldn't have done, how many people are there watching? They said, oh, it's about 8 million.
No, why did you ask that? Oh, no.
I was like, oh, I did it in my bedroom, which had like little crate, apple crates with plants on in the background, which I knew now, there's barely any internet in there. And I thought, gosh, if it went down. But anyway, I've recorded it, which was quite cool. But I couldn't see what I looked like on camera because they video call you on Zoom.
Right.
They don't have any, they turn their screen off, so you can't see anyone. And you have to use your back camera because obviously it's a bit better than the front camera.
Of course, yeah.
So the camera was just pointing towards me and I could hear the presenters, but that was it. I didn't even know I was in camera.
Oh my God.
Until I watched it afterwards. But yeah, I made them laugh at the end because they said, oh, do you speak to your plants? And I said, oh, no, not really. But I play Whitney Houston and Taylor Swift to them. They haven't died yet. So yeah, that was my, you know, time. Then that after that, I got, you know, it was at the end of the little segment. So I made everyone laugh. But yeah, that was scary. I think it was about 10,000 followers within about an hour.
Really?
An hour. Yeah, it's weird, the power of news. Yeah, I've had to screen record it because it was just mind-boggling. You refresh the Instagram notification center, whatever it's called,
yeah,
and it was, you know, 5-6 people were following you a second. It was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. And that was after the BBC Breakfast one?
Yeah, literally during.
Bloody hell, that's during. Amazing. Yeah, Christ, that's the power of BBC Breakfast then.
I know. And you see all these television stars, they obviously get followers all the time, like Monty Don.
Yeah.
Amount of millions of followers he has. he just has to be on TV for half an hour and that's it, another 10,000. But not about the numbers. It's about the people you have already on your supporting your channel, Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long after that did Gardeners World get in touch then?
I think it was within a few days, actually.
Oh.
It was the director emailed and said, oh, we're looking at doing some houseplant features. Would you like to be considered? I was like, yeah, because my granny loved Gardens World. So, they approached me on email and then phoned me. But of course, because it was still locked down, I think this was May, they couldn't come around to the house. So what I had to do is I had to find an old medieval phone, like an iPhone 5 or something, which only just had FaceTime on it. And basically I had to use the old phone to video call the director. And that camera was pointing towards my newer phone, which was videoing me. And they have a special, I think it's called ProMotion. It's like an app and has to be a certain frames per second. So the TVs start screaming or something. I don't know what it was about. But anyway, so yeah, I had to film it, and the ladies, the directors were saying, oh, left a bit, right a bit, but I couldn't see it. Again, I couldn't see the screen. I didn't know what was going on really. Then I had to film all the little cutaway shots. And, you know, if I pointed to a plant on the camera, on the main reel film, I'd then have to do a video zoomed in of me touching it in the exact same way with the same hand. Oh, yeah. So it was great fun, and it learned, luckily, because did that film studies A-level, the only one I actually pretty much passed, that actually came into handy, which weirdly enough, never thought it would, but here we are.
No.
And everything's useful eventually. But
you never know. Yeah, if you'd have finished those other A levels, you could have been doing the psychology of French films.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or I could have been doing Gardens World in French and talking about the psychological benefit of that. Yeah,
I was going to try and say Gardens World in French then, but I've got no idea what it is. Jardin something.
Le monde du jardinier? I don't know.
Okay.
The world of... I don't know what gardens in French. I know it's jardin, so I don't know.
Well,
who knows?
You did better than I did. So that took off. When did when did the houseplant doctor kind of thing come about? Because that's you do calls and you do like FaceTime kind of things and all sorts of like things with houseplants. So that's such a great idea. I've never seen anybody doing that.
Yeah, and I think there was one guy, it was Ohio Tropics, Raphael, I think his name is. He did it first. But of course that's in America. Obviously it's all worldwide. Mm. But there wasn't someone doing it in England. And it was during the second out of the 10 million lockdowns we had. It was in November time. And I just thought, I finished working at this houseplant store. I thought, let's try and do something on my own. So, yeah, I set up the one-to-one calls. It wasn't called the houseplant doctor services type thing there. And it was just one-to-one calls. And it was, yeah, really, really popular. And the thing which I like about it is, one, you meet lots of new people from a lot of different countries. I had one guy in Colombia, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
And they had the same plants as we grow in the UK, which is why I always say plants are an international language. But the other thing I love is, you know, if someone has a cheese plant and they leave it outside in the frost, how does that plant behave? It goes black, it can have yellowing leaves, it can go mushy at the base. So I'm learning from what other people do, good and bad, and then I can learn how that plant behaves and then write it on the articles. So it's kind of like a giant circle of information. And, you know, I love helping people and inspiring them. And a lot of the time it's people, as we said at the start, saying, oh, I'm just getting back into houseplants. My grandmother or mum or dad had plants. And I've got this, you know, this old plant like a Streptocarpus, and I don't know where to put it and what to do. What should I do? And I help them with that. And yeah, it's lovely. And they always... people always message back with the photos of the plant, you know, 6 months later, and it's not dead, so that's good.
you did something right then, definitely. I love the calls thing. I think it's such a great idea, because I think it's like you say, because it's an international thing, it's a real way of connecting with so many different people kind of all over the place. What a brilliant thing to do. Do you find with those, and this is kind of one of those like really typical houseplant questions, so I'm really sorry to ask you this, is there like one... well, not common, but is there like one thing that is asked the most above anything else with houseplants? Is there like one kind of common thread of questions that you'll get?
It's the first one is fungus gnats, the dreaded fungus gnats. But I mean, they're non-detrimental to the plants. So the plant is okay. It's just us, you know, trying to watch Coronation Street and wafting all the plants around because you're in the tropics. But no, that's number one. And then the second one is just with yellowing leaves, you know, as a whole. And then you have to ask, where did you get it from? Where is it located? Watering, feeding regimes. So that's the second most common issue. But the thing is, sometimes with people phoning, there's actually two or three problems at once. So someone who's got root rot and mealybugs. I don't think there was any articles on both together. There's always one or the other. But the thing I always say is, if the plant's yellowing, the leaves are rotting at the base, the roots aren't doing well, take stem cuttings, because usually the top of the plant is where the plant is trying to survive the most with the light, especially if they're vined plants as well. Just if you've got a poorly plant, just take stem cuttings, and that is done in the exact same way as you would if the plant was healthy. It doesn't matter if it's got root rot.
Is there also, kind of along that lines of the most common question, is there one plant that comes to mind that people find the most difficult out of all houseplants?
It is definitely peter leaves, but they have a very delicate root system. And if you keep them too moist, the soil becomes anaerobic and the roots can rot. The plant then looks like it's wilting, and people might think it needs more water, but then they water it even more, but they realise the roots are actually rotten, which is why the plant's wilting, is not getting any moisture from the roots. And the second one is trying to get the orchids to flower. People think that when the orchid flowers are dying, the plant itself is dying, which, you know, is far from the truth. All you have to do is cut the flower stem by half and just see, because sometimes it will produce another branch of foliage. But yeah, they're the two most questioned plants.
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
Bet. The orchids thing, I heard you talking about at Gardeners World Live, and I think that got a bit of a, I think there was a bit of a, in the audience there,
yeah.
like a bit
Oh,
of a,
really?
Like an intake of breath of like, oh, it's not dead.
Yeah, they always think, but the perennial plants, I mean, sometimes people can get them to flower two, even three times a year. But they are a plant that once they like the location, the flowers tend to last longer. The environmental shock will be minimal because they're not being moved around. But no, I looked after this, one of my friend's orchids, and I've never seen that as many flowers or flower spikes. He never looked after it. It practically was completely root-rotted. There was no roots in the pot. It was just bark and dead things. But he kept it in a really rickety Victorian windowsill with direct sun. The leaves were practically lime-coloured, almost yellow. But the thing had six flower spikes, and some of the spikes were like pencil thick. And you could write an essay with it. And the thing did not stop flowering for months and months and months. So it kind of just shows you that, you know, sometimes treating them with hatred really gets them going. But yeah, that I had to give the plant back to him, which I was a bit sad about because it was such a weird plant.
Yeah.
I didn't want to repot it because then it would have started growing normally. And I wanted it to keep flowering. But yeah.
That's an anomaly. There's always something to disprove the correct things to do, aren't there?
Yeah. But I mean, no two plants are the same. Same with humans. Mm-hmm. No, me and you are different in different ways. Each individual cheese plant is different. Some can deal with colder temperatures, some can't. It's weird. Really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay, one last thing, and then I've got some hard hitting questions for you.
Oh gosh,
what is this isn't one of the hard hitting questions. This is a different question. what is one kind of houseplant myth that you hear kind of a lot of people say or a lot of people think that isn't necessarily true?
To be fair, I mean, I'm not going to start advocating tap water. Don't worry, but sometimes I use rainwater when I can collect it, but a lot of the time I use tap water. And I think because my taps are quite soft, it's not too hard. The plants have been fine for years. So, I mean, it's rainwater is obviously best. I always recommend it if you can. Mm. But if you can't and your tap water isn't too hard, it's not the end of the world. I wouldn't worry. But yeah, that's what I would say. The other thing is repotting. People think they need to repot the plants all the time.
Mm.
But not necessarily. And generally, if a root ball is slightly pot bound, they have that stress response and the plant can flower. So Peter Lee's orchids, they're really, really good to keep pot bound a little bit longer and they'll flower more often. So yeah, they're two interesting things that I would say you don't have to be, on the ball about, because they can be a bit, relaxed. Just through my own experience, the plants haven't had any issues with the tap water, but I do try and use rainwater when I can. I've got a massive tub which people keep almost tripping up over on the driveway, where there's a little drain pipe and it just drips the water in. But yeah, when you can, use rainwater.
Nice. Okay. Before we get on to these hard-hitting questions, if anyone does want to follow you and find out about you, so what was your Instagram and what was your website?
Yes, so it's at UK Houseplants, all one word. I'm hopefully coming back to social media soon. It's just every time I start, I don't feel great to do it, so I stop.
Yeah,
but you might sometimes get it sometimes as well. Yeah. It's social media. It's very interesting when you try and post stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But no, the website is doing very well. That's ukhouseplants.com. There's the one-to-one bookings. There's peat-free potting mixes with free deliveries. I don't charge for that. And then the many articles on there as well. So if you've got a piece of lee and you want to know how to get it to flower, scroll down to the piece of lee article and you'll get there.
Nice. One thing, actually, I've just remembered that I wanted to ask you. What's next? Is there a book? There must be a book in there somewhere.
I think all the book publishers run away. I did have a book proposal about 2019 or 2020, I think. No, it would have been 2020, so during the lockdown. But it was about mental health and plants, and I didn't feel I was confident enough to write that just yet.
Yeah.
I think David Dominey got it instead. It was the My Houseplant Saved My Life thing.
Oh,
it was just a good book. So yeah, he kind of got there first with it, which I think it got to number six in the it's not called Billboard Top 100, that's music, but the book Billboard, whatever it would be called. He got to number six, so I could have done that. But I do really want to write a book, and I know exactly what I want to write it about, but I don't know. If someone can help me with book proposal, like trying to get a book proposal across that people would listen to, please message me, because I've not had much luck, but I'd love to write a book, and I've wrote most of what I want to write about already. So, but yeah, who knows?
Nice. Okay, right. Let's get onto these questions then. Are you ready?
Oh gosh, yeah.
They're not that bad. Don't worry. Question number one: if you were to start your Housepunk collection again from scratch, where would you start and why?
I think what I would do this time, which I didn't do the first time, I just kind of bought plants and then filled the entire room up and then the house up and then it got too much, is I would go, if I had a flat and I had certain windowsills or windows, I would make more themed windowsills, which I've done now, a few years down the line, which I actually did a few days ago, is I rearranged, I've got a few south-facing windows, and I put not a Mexican theme, because some cacti aren't from Mexico, but a Mexican kind of slightly dry xerographic kind of theme. So I've got bark woven in between the cacti and the succulents, things like that, and make then a little cacti terrarium as well. And then also, just if I have a bookshelf and I want a trailing plant, find some good plants that trail, that try to scanty aren't the best, because they grow so quickly, they become leggy at the top. Whereas the plant that we were talking about before going on air, the mini monstera, the Raffido dofora, I can never pronounce the word, but they are, or devil's ivy, fantastic for low light bookshelves or even climbing up. So that's what I would do, is focus on that certain area for what a plant needs, whether it's direct sun, dark areas, and then just work with different textures and colours and, pots, things like that.
Nice. The next question is kind of a question of two parts. I've been cheeky really here, and there's actually four questions. But first part of the next question is, and this is such a horrible question, I'm really sorry to ask this, but if you had to pick your favourite plant that you've got in your current collection now, which would it be? Or like, which would you save if you had to flee your house?
Oh, I've actually made a fire plan. If there is a fire,
have you?
I've had to do it before, but that wasn't a fire. I've had to literally drop all the plants out the second floor window. The plants survived, the pots didn't. But yeah, honestly, I would just open the doors and I would just launch the plants out, even if there was smoke. I know it's really bad, but no, if time was at the essence, the first one would be I've got an old 50 something year old Christmas cactus, which was, this is a random family tree for you, but it was my stepdad's uncle's wife's mother's plant from the 70s. So it's two generations before, and it's outlived Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, ABBA, pretty much. It's lived through some good eras of music and whatnot. But yeah, that's the plant which I would say. I don't think I'd throw that out the window though, because that wouldn't survive. But the other one would be, and this is a really funny plant, is when I was at college, that doing my three random A levels that I barely did, I used to park under a sycamore tree, and this was in an old Vauxhall Corsa from 2002, and it had a water leak. Every time I filled up the water coolant on the car, it would literally pour into the footwell of the car, to the point that algae was growing in the car, and a couple of seedlings of the sycamore tree started growing. And it was until there was an oil leak in the engine in the car, wouldn't start. It broke down in McDonald's drive through, which wasn't great. that was another story on it. That car, it's called Kevin, bless it. It was a strange car. But anyway, after it broke down in the McDonald's driveway, I got fished out of the drive. I didn't get my food, actually. So it was a bit sad. Drove back home and it was stopping and starting. Had to keep the car, the revs above like 2000 before it cut out. Got home, opened the bonnet, looked at the back, and there were some seedlings growing. They only had little seed leaves, so it wasn't a sycamore leaf at that point. It was just that kind of belt, like almost like an amaryllis shaped leaf, but very small. And I thought, I've got to save it. So I got my stepdad's nose trimmers out and a fork, fished around, making sure I wasn't going to damage that little root. Managed to save one, and that was in 2017. So I've had the sycamore tree? I'll send you a photo if you want afterwards.
The second part of that question, which is the kind of the cheeky part really, is there one plant that you haven't got in your collection that you're absolutely desperate to add?
Oh, I'm trying to think. There is a few. There is the, is it Manihot Graham Eye, I think it's called. It's a really strange, very large broad leaf plant. That's one I'd love. I'm just trying to think if there's any others. I'd love to try and grow, I mean, this is kind of answering the question kind of now. I'd love to have like a tissue culture, mini tissue culture lab and growing like little Thai constellation babies.
Yeah.
So I've seen them when they're really small on photos and when they've got like one or two leaves and they look so adorable.
Yeah.
Things like that. The other thing is just having a giant orange. If I save enough money and I have a very small house, like a cardboard box house, but then have a giant conservatory on the end, I'd just try and grow massive versions of all the plants. If anyone's ever been to Centre Parks, they have the tropical domes where they have the swimming pool.
Yep.
That's, I would love something like that.
Yeah.
In my little, because they have gigantic Livingstonia palms, like the little Chinese fan palms, the one with really sharp needles on the petioles and stem. Massive ones of those, yuccas, cheese plants that are flowering, ficus, benjamina, the little weeping figs, ZZ plants. I'd love just to have giant versions of those. So at the minute, I'm in quite a small place and I've got to focus on the windowsills, which you can't get a 10-foot Manihot Graham Eye plant in there, sadly, just yet.
No matter how much you try. Right. And the very final question is, why do houseplants bring you so much joy?
I think there's a few. The first thing is I like moving plants around. I've got a very small little patio garden. And I don't know if you've got a little patio bit in your garden where you kind of just move the plant pots around every now and again, depending on what part of the season they're in. I do kind of do the same with the houseplants, but I do it more with the pots and the texture of the leaves. But no, I think that the biggest thing is because I've got so many, they're all at different stages of growth. So some plants might be flowering now, whereas others are just producing leaves. Some might be going in a dormancy period, a bit like an amaryllis would right now.
Mm.
And then there's others which are starting to produce little babies, spider plant cuttings or a zebra plant, the harworthia, where they've got little pups growing on the end where you can propagate them. So I kind of like waiting for that plant to get to a certain size in their little life cycle before decapitating them and growing them again. But that's the one thing I love, is they're all at different stages, they're all different shapes and sizes, and they've all got their own characteristics. Some hate me, some love me, some are just kind of growing there and living off neglect, that kind of thing.
If you'd like to find out more from Joe, then you can follow him on Instagram at UKHouseplants. And you'll also find endless information on his website, ukhouseplants.com. Join me again next week where I'll be in conversation with another fantastic planty guest. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at viewfromthepottingbench to see what I'm up to in my garden, or visit viewfromthepottingbench.com to read my blog and much more. And don't forget, if you've got a spare few minutes, then do consider leaving a rating or a review on your podcast platform of choice. See you again next week.